Good morning. It is Tuesday, September 25th, 2018, and it is 11:09, and we are assembled for the City County Monthly Update in the BCC Conference Room. Subjects today, and is one of them is Allen Creek Road discussion. Number two is smart meter discussion, and third is Community Economic Development Committee. Is that the last C?
Yeah.
If any other items, the city.
Okay, all right. So present is City Manager Aaron Kubik and Commissioner Morgan and Commissioner DeYoung. We're expecting Valerie Lovelace, Council President, in just a little bit.
So with regards to Allen Creek Road, one of the things I was just talking with Jason about also, he was here just a minute ago, you know, if we're not going to go forward with Allen Creek, I don't know what our hopes and dreams are for Allen Creek. Is the county still interested in doing it? Is the city still interested in doing it? But I was just trying to get some information from Jason with regards to the scope on where we are right now with Allen Creek. And so currently right now, we're about ready to spend another $20,000 to re-scope the project. And we've spent about $240,000 in engineering. Most of the engineering we spent can be shelved and reutilized. So it's not like wasted money. It's engineering that would have needed to be done anyhow when the project goes through in some point in time, whether we do it now or we do it 10 years from now. The rescoping, though, if ultimately the end desire of both policy boards is, you know what, this isn't the right time and place, and we want to spend our resources elsewhere, then it might be good for us to stop sooner than later, maybe stop this additional scoping and rescope what the project looks like from cost perspective, unless both policy boards need that additional knowledge on, okay, this is what the real costs are going to be, and that update, that project scope will help. If it'll help, then it's $20,000 well spent. But if in the end both policy boards are wanting to go, yeah, you know, I don't think it's it, then we may want to pull back and not spend that $20,000.
Okay. Commissioner Morgan, you have a comment, and I will recognize you. Did you watch the end of that meeting? If you did not watch the end of the meeting, you don't know what I'm getting ready to say, but I'm getting ready to say it anyways. You go ahead.
I did not watch the meeting yet. It's still on my to-do list.
It's like reading the 1953 Reef Report. You are uneducated, informed, unless you read that, unless you watch it.
So my opinion of this is, one, I was kind of surprised. I was just leaving when the presentation was starting last Monday. And when I saw the picture, I saw the same picture of road design that we have seen. And as you are aware, that we were both very opinionated, adamant in the process when we were city councilors that we didn't want a standard road design.
Mm-hmm.
I think from my standpoint, I understood the project when there was going to be a soccer complex at Allen Creek and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of made sense that it could maybe be a traffic calming and a diversion and stuff. I don't see it as being necessary or the highest priority that we would support. And the portions that need to be adjusted are the county road portion. And I'm not willing to tell people I'm going to take land for something I don't see having a benefit at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is desire, obviously we want to work with you guys, because I feel that we've made a lot of progress on working together as agencies.
Yeah.
But even in our last meeting or the last couple meetings, what I've heard is our highest priority that we would think would have a bigger impact on our community is third lanes on 199. And if the county has $3 million that we're going to throw into a project, Allen Creek is not where we would throw that money in. And what is our highest need that's going to have a bigger impact on more people? And that bigger impact on moving traffic is also going to have an impact on, I see this as you got the urban renewal going right now, mm-hmm. and that area is kind of in it.
Mm-hmm.
In order for businesses to come in, traffic counts are going to be a part of that. Traffic movement's going to be a part of it. Ringette is already a failing intersection. If you are on Ringette trying to get on 199 at the end of the day, you are stuck there through numerous light cycles.
Right.
It's easier to go through Dutch Bros and Dairy Queen and get back on the highway and go through the light than to wait for the light at Ringette. It's already not meeting its needs to keep traffic moving. And if we are looking at putting millions of dollars of taxpayer dollars in the next 20 years into that area's infrastructure for business growth, if we don't address now the traffic issues, I think we're going to have a bigger hurdle down the road. Better to address it now and get the traffic moving so that as businesses are looking to go in there. I mean, I was just trying to look at, wow, there's a house right behind the gas station, next to the car wash, next to the fairgrounds. How is there still a house in the middle of this business area? you know, but it's kind of curious. It's somebody's living there, but it's certainly not a peaceful
neighborhood. That used to be Mosher Paving's office.
Okay.
That's why it was there. It's commercial.
Got it.
I don't think anybody's living there. I don't think.
It looked like there was
Well, they may be.
Yeah, but this is just my assumption by looking through. But from my standpoint, as far as someone who was a part of the discussions at the city side and knew the previous stuff to where we are now, I can't really support, personally, I'm not speaking for the board, Allen Creek going forward before some other things that are a higher priority. And I think that if there's a way to say the study can be put off for future use or something like that, but I'm still concerned that what I see the engineering report and the engineering report is still that same standard 66-foot wide street with the standard walkways and pathways and all that other kind of stuff, where we were trying to accommodate where houses and stuff were in there and saying one traffic calming concept is having the road jog. When the road jogs, people have to slow down and navigate. Or you can keep the speeds lower to navigate that thing. And it was one of the things they talked about as an intentional design pattern over in our areas behind Bi-Mart and all that. If you have the roads move, you don't have those straightaways where people are skyrocketing and going down. And if you have a skyrocketing straightaway, that's exactly what will happen. If you have road jogs and then go around the houses, it is a natural calming that people have to do to navigate. But it's not a part of the engineering. So it's sad to me to hear that $250,000 is spent on engineering that has the same pattern that early on we said, please don't do the same thing you've always done.
I'm not sure if that's truly the case. I think we made a lot of progress on changing what the current cookie cutter road schematic
and
is.
And that was my assumption based on what I saw Jason put up on the road.
He may have just pulled that. I don't know where he pulled the cross section of that road and if it represents the true what we're looking at today. I know that we had jogs in it, not major jogs, but we did have some jogs. I know we looked at a roundabout. A roundabout didn't happen because of the property and that kind of property acquisition stuff. And then I know we talked about a shared path on both sides of the road that's a little wider than a sidewalk, but not quite as wide as a true multimodal path. As a cross section, so I don't know what cross section is the latest one, and
But just what I saw in that presentation looked like the standard sidewalk beautification strip, bike lane, travel lane, turn lane, travel lane in reverse, and it was kind of like, well, that doesn't account for, are we taking people out of their homes? Are we moving houses? Are we? I mean, because that's what that's asking us to do if it's a standard design.
When Commissioner DeYoung was fighting for, you know, trying to narrow, and we did narrow. So I don't know what the latest schematic was. We did narrow to reduce the impact on the residents, but I'm not the professional on what the last thing was on the schematic. So if we want a presentation, I'd be more than happy to have the right people here to be able to provide you with an update on what that is. And we could do that if that's a concern moving forward also. But I think the bigger picture is, do we want to move forward with the project no matter what the road looks like?
Yeah. I can't say yes. I don't see that road, and especially even how it's currently designed, coming up Allen Creek and the jogs back behind, and then going, it's not a natural path for people to take in thinking. I mean, it might be someday, but what will it really accomplish in reducing traffic that something else wouldn't have a better impact on doing?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to reduce some traffic hitting the Y, but, you know, like you said, I don't know how much it's actually going to reduce. Those people that want to get from the highway to Williams Highway may take that, and it may get used more and more in the future, and that's why it was designed for that. But to get people to take that route to get to Williams Highway instead of going through and then over.
Well, and already, I mean, for instance, we were out at RCC and decided we wanted to go out to Murphy to get brunch one Sunday. And we cut out Stringer Gap and out New Hope and went out the back way. You know, it's like you're not coming back to Redwood Highway to go all the way to the end to go out.
Yeah.
People already in this area know those back roads to get to those areas. You know that Elk Lane and Sand Creek cut across if the bridge were there. Or you know that Lawn and Road cuts over from New Hope. You know those other cuts already. There's already a connection. If I needed to get to New Hope, I'm going down to Lawn and over. I'm not coming into Allen Creek because I have to backtrack to New Hope anyhow. I don't know. I mean, yeah, they'll learn there. But again, what's having the greatest impact? Our biggest struggle right now is 199. And I think what I heard in our last meeting or the meeting before is we got to be one voice going to RV Act. There was supposed to be a meeting of all the RV Act participants before the next RV Act meeting. That's what we had said in our last meeting last month. And the whole idea is that we were all on the same page that 199 Third Lane should be our one voice as mm-hmm. far as having biggest impact on our area. So I was surprised by the meeting on the 17th to hear that Allen Creek was still going forward, because I thought it already was kind of stopped. So I was surprised to hear it's still going forward. I was surprised to hear that the third lanes wasn't a part of the discussion, and the bump outs was news to me. It hasn't been in any of our monthly meetings that that's mm-hmm. even coming. No. And I know I'm not the transportation liaison, so I'm not going to be hearing those meetings, but I was surprised that that's even on the agenda as a need in our community over what would keep traffic moving to keep the mitigation from happening.
We're asking ODOT right now to come and provide a presentation to council with regards to the bump outs, because it was something that really wasn't ever asked of us on the importance or anything like that from ODOT. It was just totally
nor were we want ODOT to put money on our behalf if they had an option. I mean, is that our highest best need of money is on bump outs, or is it getting it figured out there of how do we safely get traffic past the Y? Because mm-hmm. it moves once you get past Allen Creek.
It does.
So how do we get it from the bridge past Allen Creek to get traffic moving? And Ringette is a stopper. I mean, they're the ones who took the light out of the fairgrounds. Half of the traffic congestion at Ringette is people trying to get back to the fairgrounds. But they're not moving traffic. And the third lane idea, I thought we were all on board for to keep that moving. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised that any other projects would be a priority over that, when we could be one voice to get that done. And I'm sorry, I did not watch the video, but I don't know if I'm...
You need to watch the video.
Okay.
Okay.
I will.
Promise
I promise
me
today.
You will do that.
I will today.
Okay. Read the 1953 Reese Report and watch the video.
Okay. I've tried to read the Reese Report. The only copy I got was so bad I couldn't read it.
Beyond your wildest imagination, you will be informed. Okay. Here's the deal. You're probably not going to get them to endorse the third lane. And I said it at the meeting because it came from a city councilor. It didn't come from ODOT, number one. Number two is they want that South Y project in the worst way to be in the $200 million range, $150 to $200 million, so it keeps ODOT busy for the next 5 to 10 years. Every employee in that building will have a job for 5 to 10 years. They'll spend that money, no doubt about it. They don't want to fix that. That's why you're seeing a traffic jam out there. Anybody could sit there with a stopwatch and reprogram that traffic signal to move traffic, but they refuse to do so. They're creating a log jam out there so they can create the solution. That's exactly what it is. This is a solution that comes in prematurely in their game plan. I know that sounds like
no,
a
that
conspiracy.
Makes sense. It's not the time that they want
it,
that to...
It sounds like a conspiracy, but it is a conspiracy. And the problem is, they said, we can't do this. So then they turn right around, and I asked, I just got off the phone with Gary Levy. And I said, tell me where that came from.
What's that, the third lane?
The bump outs.
Oh, the bump, oh, okay.
I said, where'd the bump outs come from? You're getting ready to do it in 19 and 20. Mm-hmm. Where did it come from? Whose idea? Did the city council say they have a pedestrian problem in the north end of Grants Pass? Nope. Mm-mm. I travel that every day. Do I have a pedestrian problem? Nope. I'm going to ignore 25,000 vehicle a day traffic count on 199 because I have 15 people cross 6th Street a day? That's what I'm going to do? He said, well, you're obviously fired up about this. I said, no, I'm mad, Gary, and I want answers. I want answers. I said, I sat over there, and Jason Kennedy gave me 3 shots to the gut while I was sitting there. Simon had a tummy ache, and Lily had a 230, and I'm sure enough, 235, here comes Jason Kennedy, and absolutely kicked me in the groin 3 times, right in a row. And you bet I was mad. I don't think I'm still mad. He well, you know, you need to calm down. I said, I'm not gonna. And he says, well, what I want you to do is, he said, I want you to put down all your concerns and we'll set up a meeting with Art Anderson mm-hmm. and find out. And I said, yes, that is going to happen. Right now?
What's Art's role versus Gary's role? Is Gary the Gary's Red's cast guy?
He's just the PR, that point.
Gary, you're the ODOT spokesman, and you don't know where that project came from? Ooh. I said, that surprised me. I said, here we go again. I said, here's Josephine County. You're going to give us that project, that Bobat project, and then beat us up with it forever. Look what we did for Josephine County. That is not a Josephine County project. It's not an RV Act project. We want it out of the Act for a reason, and this is it. Matthew Garrett better come down here and sit right there in that chair. Oh, you can't be in your own Act because you know what? We're giving you everything. Why? It's going to get better. It hasn't gotten better. It hasn't gotten anything. Mm-hmm. So that's the most ridiculous part of it. Now, as far as the Allen Creek Road project, I was in favor of the Allen Creek project. It was me, Simon Hare, and Darren Fowler that brought that project back. Because we convinced RV Act that they needed to go against their own and eat their own in order to give us that project back for 60
million. After the option A or whatever that was. That
the alternative A went away. And that made ODOT mad. So we get it back and we do 61 right away.
Yeah.
But Allen Creek's been dragging its feet for 8 years. I've been dealing with Allen Creek. 8 years. And it's still no closer to being done. I think the reason behind Allen Creek Road, which I was in favor of, soccer complex is going out there, Allen Creek Park was going out there. Mm-hmm. Gosh, this was going to be a perfect place for get the kids from all those residential areas. That gets them to that park safely through a multimodal trail. And why aren't we doing a multimodal trail? Why are we going back to the same old cross section? Because bikeways and pathways can't get along. No. We want separate bikeways and pathways for bicycles. They're an advisory committee. We don't need to take their advice. If it's economically feasible to do it some other way that is ODOT approved, I don't care what they think. How's that for apples? We have a multimodal path going right out the side of all the way to Rogue Community College, and it works just fine. How many bicycle pedestrian collisions have we had on that path in the 20 years it's been there? Zero. So why can't we do it elsewhere? ODOT is in favor of a multimodal path. The cross section that Jason had up there, how many times have we told Jason, don't ever put that up there again? And what's he do? He puts it up there again. And every time you put it up there again. Now, if we would have approved that the other day, you guys approved that? And all of a sudden they say, well, we don't like that cross section. Oh, no, that, you know, we're going to change that. And then it comes out and the engineer goes, nope, we like that. And it turns out, they go, why did you do it? See, that's what you approved. It was on the slideshow. Didn't you see it? She caught it. Why? Because we're adamant about that. And you know what? Does it seem to be getting this whole thing, the $241,000 and the jobs and lane shifts? The reason council wanted that was because of traffic calming. The people on Denton Trail.
And the people who live on the street.
The people that lived on Denton Trail said, we don't want to be the end of a drag strip because it's straighter and flatter in the back of my head. All right, so we don't want that. So we thought, okay, let's jog around. Well, we're 10 feet from this guy's house. Jog over 20 feet. Mm-hmm. Buy the field across there. If you have land acquisition, buy it out of that guy's front field rather than this guy's front yard. And you make that. What did the engineer come back? Well, unless you go a complete 66-foot lane shift, it's not considered traffic calming. Why isn't it? No common sense whatsoever. It's just what their little booklet says.
Yeah.
I'm interested in engineering for a solution. And if we can't engineer for a solution, I don't want to spend any more money on engineering. What you've got there now, yes, you can use that later on in the future. Mm-hmm. When that park develops, because it will eventually be a park, I guarantee it will be.
Yeah.
As you get more people moving out there, but I think if we're going to do something out there, I wouldn't mind saying, all right, the city and county go together, and we build the street. We don't put in all the fluff. We put in the storm drains, and we do all the stuff there. We put in all the storm drains, and we do everything we need to do, but we don't put in the site, we don't put in the walking paths and the multimodal and all that. We just make a street. Curb gutters. When development occurs, that's when you put in the sidewalk. For right now. As they start developing those, then those will become housing developments.
Yep.
You tell the developer, you need to create this and you need to finish that off.
Well, ultimately, that's the way the system is set up, is for the developers to.
But no, we were going to do all that up ahead of time.
We were.
Was it going to be a, what do you call that, advanced finance district or something where we would charge them when they did for the cost of the road?
Yeah, the reimbursement district.
Reimbursement district. Mm-hmm. We didn't do any of that. We were just going to take it on the beak. I think if you scope that work now, you say it's $300,000 more than what we scoped it before. I'll bet it's $2.5 million more.
It's going to be more.
Way more, because we missed the opportunity when people needed the work. We missed that 5 years ago. It could have been done for X number of dollars, but it can't. Now it won't even be close. So I say go ahead and scope it, but I wouldn't spend any money, $20,000 doing it, because we already know the answers.
Well, that's about what we've got budgeted, is 20 for the scope.
Right.
But
the need out there in that
you'll
area.
Have to rescope it though whenever you go back to do the project. And again, right now, what's it solving? And finding a solution of what we can actually get done. I mean, do we have any shot at getting, I understand what you're saying about the conspiracy, and I don't think you're wrong, because the whole South Y needs done. And probably when they're done
with 62, as soon as they got the 62 bypass,
they need another project.
To keep everybody busy for 3 years on the 62 bypass, we haven't had a decent RV Act meeting since. All funding went to that. All funding went to the 62 bypass. You want us to know ridiculous? The third lane, the commuter lane, we told Art, said, yeah, let's just scope that out, see what it comes out. They came back with $12 million to do those two lanes. No land acquisition, one intersection. One lighted intersection, one controlled intersection. Bring gas, that's it. Put another light up there. The standard, we may have to re-engineer that crossbar. No, you won't. It was engineered for it in the first place. One traffic signal. And less than, probably it might be a mile going out and probably 3/4 mile coming in, because you're going to start at Fairgrounds, Texaco. So that is $12 million. And I told Mike Baker over here at the MPO, I said, do you think, well, you probably do think I'm that stupid, but I'm not. When you're telling me that those two commuter lanes are 10% of what the whole 62 bypass cost, which is 6 miles long, two lanes either way, overpasses, underpasses, flyovers, land acquisition on industrial property, and you're telling me it's 10% of that to do two lanes on already existing right of way? What do you think I am? And then they rescoped it and came back at $6 million.
That's better.
$6 million. But how long is Allen Creek Road? 3/4 mile?
I don't know.
Okay, 3/4 mile. Three lanes, curb, gutter, sidewalk, storm drainage, striping, bike path, sidewalk, beautification strip,
yeah, landscape,
everything. Mm-hmm. Total for that is $2.4 million from the MPO, $950 from ODOT plus $300. So it's roughly, doesn't crowd $4 million. But it's $6 million to go on no land acquisition, one turn signal, and nothing but just paving. If you gave that to Oregon Mainline, it'd be done by Friday morning. The people that are doing the freeway right now,
yeah.
They grind it all, lay it back down, put a stripe in the middle, and you're done. problem solved.
Yeah.
But no, it's $6 million now. And I have a deal, I'll go get it before we get done here. I'm going to give it to you. It's Kinson and Associates.
Mm-hmm.
They scoped that project for us. They just did the outbound lane. It came out to $1.3 million. The actual job cost was $1.3 million. They put $250,000 in to hang a light at Ringgat and reprogram the box. $250,000 came out to $1.32 million for the outbound lane. That's the expensive one. The inbound lane, there's no sidewalk, there's no side anything to deal with over there. You just do it. They also added another $400,000 for engineering and project cost, and then a $635,000 contingency, 40% contingency, and it still came out to $2.4 million. So if you double that, it's $5 million. But a 40% contingency, that'll never happen.
Right.
They say they don't have the money at ODOT. I wonder what the contingency is on the 62 bypass. And when they get that back, what are they going to do with it? Could they go, you know what, we're going to pay for this good idea out of contingency, because that 62 bypass project's almost over. They're really getting close to completion on that. They got all the rough stuff done, all the bridges and all the other stuff. So they will have some money. But you know what they'll do with it? It'll go back to the Act, and the Act will throw it away on something else in Jackson County. So, well, I want that money, and I want it for this thing out here. If we can't champion that, all like I say, we've got to have ODOT. There's no doubt about it. I'm not their best friend anymore, and they know it. I had Larry Fork sit right here. He says, I'm out of the Act. I'm done. I'm finished. He says, we worked with him, trying to get it done, and now we get nothing. Caveman Bridge, we love that. We championed for that when we were on the council. I even tried to get Evergreen Federal to do something, to, you know, chip in on it. And they were interested, but we didn't. But then all of a sudden the ODOTs go, oh, we got to redo that bridge. And don't dare tear it down. You make it work. If you tear it down, you're going to put another bridge exactly like that one, because it's on our logo. So, you know, I'm okay for that bridge. The Applegate Dam crossing out there, Applegate River crossing, that was an ODOT project. The climbing lanes is an ODOT project. It did not answer the wants and needs of Josephine County and our traffic problem. They don't want to fix that out there. If you put that third lane in there, both ways, everybody go, ah, finally.
Yep.
Finally, this works. And they go, nope, we can't have that. No, sir. 10 to 12 years out. 10 to 12 years out on a needed project.
It's going to get worse and worse.
That'll get worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And all those people want to do is go home. That's it. Let me go home. I think we need to phase in the Allen Creek Road project. Look at that from our standpoint of us doing it.
Yeah.
Rather than them doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be cheaper?
With the development to pay for the upgrades, other than the two lanes and the curb gutters and no sidewalks. But I think that we can do that like a county road. We're going to build a county road.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be semi to city standards. It's not going to be like Beacon, but it will be wide enough to do the city standard. We'll put the dedicated curbs and gutters in there, and we'll have to do the storm drainage and all that. I get that. But when it comes to the multimodal path or sidewalks or beautification or everything, that's on the developer when he does that. Very similar to that housing development that's across the street from the old Montezero over in Medford.
Hmm.
On, I think that's, oh, what's the name is that? Byliss Road comes around there, past Four Corners on, and comes around and connects in right there by Costco.
Anyway. Not Delta Waters?
Yeah, I think it is up. Kind of, no.
Oh, Delta comes behind, right.
You go across.
Delta Waters goes behind the old Costco,
right.
My bad.
You know where Montezero used to be?
Yeah.
Okay, you come off, Table Rock Road goes like that, and then it goes around Montezero and then connects into Table Rock, and then it's Byliss on the end of the airport. If you go on that stretch of road, when you turn off of Biddle and onto that stretch of road, I want you to see, why would I trust an ODOT engineer? There's three lanes with a turn-only lane. I got a picture of it on my camera. And the turn-only lane's got an arrow going this way into the old burnout Montezero. Fine, that'll be a development someday. The other way, there's an arrow, turn-only lane, with an arrow pointing at a rock wall in that subdivision. It does not line up with the street in the subdivision that would ever come out of there. Nope. It's just there because we wanted it. And then you go over to Fern Valley. And you come off of Fern Valley and you go around like you're going around Home Depot, I think it is. And you come around there, you can turn left. There's a light signal and everything. It says turn left. There's two lanes going one way and two lanes coming the other way. It dead ends at Interstate 5.
Yeah.
You drive down there and you're going, there's a guardrail. And it dead ends. It's not like, hey, we're going to go over Interstate 5. It dead ends right into that guardrail. And you go, what did they do here?
Mm-hmm.
What were they thinking? That's their engineer. Do you know what that little spur cost the taxpayer? That's their thing, $6 million. Why is it there? It goes nowhere. What an absolute cluster. And this thing here, will fix so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see where, and you know what? My vote, I'm just this count, this commissioner speaking. Take the 950, give it back to the act. That gives us some political, what do you call that? Capital? Mm-hmm. Political capital of the act. We're going to put it back in because we don't need this project right now. But we're going to put this back in. You give that 2.4 million back to the MPO, and then you ask the MPO, what can we spend that on? That means there will be $6.4 million in the MPO, and we're only, what, 4 years old?
Yeah.
$6.4 million, and we can't spend it on anything.
Why?
Because we can't. You say you want, I want it. And if they say, well, it's got to be on.
It's got to be congestion mitigation.
If that third lane isn't congestion mitigation, air quality, I'll throw in.
It totally is. That's a difficulty. It's actually hard to spend that money.
You can't take, and the CMAQ money says you can't make an improvement to an existing infrastructure. Why can't you if it is doing the purpose of CMAQ money?
Well, I think you can make an argument that the third lane is not an existing infrastructure.
No.
Correct, it's not.
And so you're helping the congestion and
mitigation. Brandon and I talked about it. He goes, well, the one that's going to kill you is probably bikeways, pathways. And I said, stop right there. Already done. We go out West Park Street. Yeah. The bike lane should not be on it.
There's already a bike lane that comes over the walking bridge.
Should not be. The bike lane should not be on an expressway. That's like allowing bicycles on I-5. So we say the alternative route is to go out, bike lane, is go out nice, jaunt through the residential district,
uh-huh.
Go around behind the racetrack because there's already a path there.
Yeah.
Connect into Redwood Avenue and go. On the other side, you come down Union Avenue.
There's already a paved way all the way out to RCCN.
Yep. There's a bike lane on Union Avenue right there. They just finished the crossing.
That's right.
In the paper, they crossed the figure. Oh, the Denton Trail, we're going to do this. And Saunders been working on this. Oh, Fred's been working on this a long time. Well, now it's going to connect to Union Avenue. And it goes all the way out past Road Community College as a multimodal path on the south end. Why are you going to make it right up on the traffic lane? If I sit down with Jenna, she's going to say, you don't make perfectly good sense, Commissioner, because we have locked horns before, her and I, and we seem to get along okay now. But I think if we give them an alternative bike path, that part's out of the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get CMAQ money, now as Susan Morgan, you know, we talked to Susan the other day after the meeting down at District 4.
Susan Morgan is former state representative.
She was on the OTC.
Okay.
She used to be on the Oregon Transportation Commission.
Yeah. And that's right. I forgot you were a Douglas County guy. So she now works over at the Association of Morgan Counties as one
for
of our policy
natural
advisors.
Natural resources, isn't it? Natural resources.
And transportation. Not transportation, but natural resources, yeah.
But she told me the other day, she said, I come and I explained to her what we were doing. She goes, and so when are you going to get that project started? Mind you, she's former OTC.
Right.
She's like, what a great idea. Gosh, that sure solved a lot of stuff out there. I said, nope. That's 10 to 12 years out. But the bulb outs? Ooh, we got money for that. We found money for that. Heck yes. How did you find that money? Where did it come from? That's what I asked Gary Leamy. He's going to get that together, and we will sit down, all of us. We're going to sit down.
Do you know what the total cost of those bulb outs are to the state?
No, he didn't even know that.
No.
I said, how much does it got? What's the money in it? Dan, I'd really have to look that. I said, you're the spokesperson for ODOT. But anyway, so.
I would love us to have a coordinated plan for what we think we want in our community, mm-hmm. of what's going to have the best outcome.
That's what Gary wants us to put together, is what do we want?
That seems like that'd be pretty simple.
And I think that'd be really, really simple.
Yep.
I want to find out on the bulbouts. I told, as like I said during the meeting, we don't have a pedestrian problem. We have a traffic problem. And if you want to say, okay, we're going to keep on, just keep pinching that road off and pinching that road off. You're down to one lane. It doesn't get any safer for the pedestrian.
And it goes in line where the growth and the urban growth boundary are
as far as the plan. That's where we're all going.
And with the urban renewal, I think it's something that we can sell for business and economy growth.
Mm-hmm.
So if we focus on that from that standpoint, I think we have a better sell. I don't know where the city's coming from.
I'm
going to
let you do the talking.
Okay.
Because you're calm and cool and collected. I mean, I get
But I do, I mean, I don't know where the city council stands right now as far as the Allen Creek project goes. I don't think you're going to get support from the commissioners of that being our highest best need right now.
Yeah,
I would probably concur that that's probably the case with the policy board. I think that they see that there's some other better, higher needs in Allen Creek, whether or not they're willing to pull it back. Because like Commissioner, Dan, what you were saying is, if you pull that project, you're going to lose the 950.
Big deal.
Well, we already faced that with bus shelters. That was the argument with the bus shelters. Is we spent this much on engineering and you got to find it from local dollars and pay back the federals and blah, 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 and you won't have anything to show for it. And quite frankly, I don't think there's another decision that I would have gone back and changed. That would have been that one in my career that we could go back and say, we'll find the 90,000 locally. We're going to do this cheaper locally.
I have a concern too. When we do our thing over here, we're going to put in 5 bus shelters.
Oh, the new hub?
Here, over at the hub.
Yep.
And by God, if they're $100 a piece, we're not going there.
No.
I want the ones that are approved. I go to the VA in my city all the time.
Yeah.
It's the extruded aluminum ones. They're 3-sided with a canopy on the front of them, and people sit in there dry. In a windstorm, they're dry. That's what I want to see over here.
I use the bus system to get to commute to work in Seattle.
In Seattle?
In rain.
Rain.
I went to a
wind
park and ride in Shoreline and was on the bus every morning down into Seattle, and sometimes would work late and have to take the long route home where it takes hour and a half on the bus in the evening. But yeah, those shelters are not hard to make.
No,
they have the 3-sided. They're not, you know, they keep you dry. But
if they're federally approved for the VA domiciliary, they should be approved for Grants Pass, Oregon. So that's where we don't want to go again. And we brought that up the other day, too, in the tirade. I said, you want to get beat up again?
No offense. He testified that they only cost $12,500 to build back then when they were costing the city $100,000. So the county was never on board for the city spending $100,000.
No, but they approved it. The council said, we've got to do that. They ended up being $86,000.
I know, because we cut out the art. But it's still one of those things. But that was the argument that led to you being here. Was that, I'm sorry, we spent this money, we have to go forward with the project.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. And honestly, that's what that argument was. And at the time, it was like, oh, okay, yeah, let's do that. And I guess from my standpoint is, well, the city can't go forward on that project without the county.
No, it needs to be a joint thing.
And so I feel like I have to say, no. Just because we spent the money, that doesn't mean we
that's
go
your
forward.
Prerogative. And
but the value is that also, so you don't get beat up. That $241,000 in engineering, that has it doesn't have necessarily a shelf life. All of it doesn't.
No.
You can bring that forth in 8 to 10 years and say, what part of this can we use if we want to do it ourselves?
Oh, we're confident.
When would you be putting the park in?
I don't know. It's not in the next 3 years.
I mean, could it go in conjunction with that?
It could. Ultimately, it'd be best if the road just went in as development went in. Mm-hmm. Have development help pay for it.
But the reason we pushed it as a project when we were trying to get a project at the time, somehow it rose to ODOT's to get traffic mitigation off of 199.
It was to help reduce the Y.
Safety at the Y.
Uh-huh.
Let the people go out that way and go.
Instead of going.
And that's, we sold it way. Under that premise.
Yeah.
But we sold it also because that Allen Creek Park was going to be there.
And the park will be there. I just don't.
And it will be there, but
I don't know when.
Probably in my lifetime.
For time's sake, though, I want to be mindful. So.
Okay.
The other thing that kind of came out of that meeting was the CEDC stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the more I think on it, I'm not convinced that the scope of the RFP is actually going to get us an outcome that we're actually looking for. And I don't know how the other commissioners feel on it, but I'm not able to support the RFP at this time. And I don't know if the city will go forward if the county doesn't support it, but I am concerned of how do we get some goals out of there that are practical, actual steps that can be taken that would impact the economy in our community. What are some feasible steps that can be taken that aren't already being done and worked on, or aren't concepts that aren't already being pursued? One is recommending helping at the airport. Okay, but I don't know how that translates in the city, because that's kind of the ask, that they're saying the city should partner with the airports. What's the practical step there of the next steps? As far as fiber optics and broadband, what's the practical next steps that as an entire community, are we looking at any rural federal funding for that? Are we looking at any other things? I'm still dealing with that. I have phone outages in the O'Brien and Cave Junction, Illinois Valley area that are related to 199 is the one way in, one way out for communications. If that's what we're doing for broadband, we're going to have an issue as well. So I don't know. I don't know how
satellite.
How do we get this group to say the goals are practical steps of things that we can achieve and work on that are accomplishing something towards a higher economy in our area? And do we need a mission statement for them that says what is the outcome is to increase the economy and future workability of our community and provide a future for families for years to come? I don't know. We can come up with some scope of something that what is our goal and is it something that both policy boards can agree to? But where the proposal is right now, the only portion of it that I can see supporting is the portion that says, I thought there was something in there about goals.
I didn't.
No, there's not. There. The whole point was that they can come up with goals. There's nothing in this presentation that actually gets us to goals.
No, it's not.
So as
that's where you really, and that's what my comments were in the meeting was, you really, I think if you're going to spend money on the two policy boards further defining what the main goals are, and then have the CEDC come up with the work plan on how you're going to accomplish those goals and have you prioritize those items together as a group. You know, you've got some broad goals right now. Services is a goal. Infrastructure and workforce development. Those are your three goals. They're not defined, but those are your three goals that came out of the strategic plan. And so ultimately, when it comes to infrastructure and services, what was the other one? Infrastructure, services, and workforce development and entrepreneurship. So having a facilitator maybe figure out, you know, if those are the goals that you still believe are the important ones, or if you want to have something more like what you were saying, further define some additional goals, add two more, be more specific with regards to creating family wage jobs or however you want to do it, to provide them more direction.
Well, and what we haven't looked at is, of these, what are we already doing? So services, for instance, we've already implemented some improvements at the county level where we're talking about time and getting permits through, and they're getting reports to us, and any complaints, they're coming back saying, no, we received this on this date, we followed up with there. We met with our staff last time about, thank you. Of coming up with some, we're going to a e-permitting process at the county that should help improve some stuff.
Yep.
And with staff coming up with, okay, if this is the application for planning, is it the same for building and what needs to be the same so you're not duplicating stuff? We're already talking.
And then you got public works that you throw in the mix of it.
Yeah.
We are planning and we are engineering for solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of seeing how much we can get in somebody's way when they want to do something.
Yep.
Let's facilitate how they can get that done with our input. If we have input into that, we can put that into it and work with them to say our objective is to get your project moving forward as fast as we can, but it also has to follow the rules.
Well, under CSDC's goals, the first goal of service, their first objective, update the county's land use permitting process. So that's sort of what you're talking about.
We're already working on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so as far as a goal, what needs to go through CEDC for them to actually make those recommendations versus us as mm-hmm. the administrators mm-hmm. working on improvements in our services? Great, it's identified, but what of these strategic plan recommendations does it actually need to go to CEDC?
That's a question to be answered.
CEDC's suggestion should be fixed planning, and they shouldn't go in there and fix planning. They're not going to micromanage planning. I don't think that's the EDC's thing, is to go micromanage and go in and tell Julie Smeltzer what she needs to do. I don't think that anyone's smart enough to do that.
No, I think having a recommendation of that would be fine, and then you'd develop a task force or something that would work with Julie, that would be a team approach with some developers in the community, and let's talk about processes, let's look at them.
Julie's charge, not the EDC's.
Yeah, correct.
I think the key that we messed up on was the second thing about CDC: be large enough to be widely represented, but small enough to be nimble.
Nine
to 15 members is probably the right size. It says they're at 15 before the staff,
you know,
and the liaisons.
When it comes to advisory commissions and committees, I always like 7 to 9. I think anything bigger than 9 gets a little unwieldy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's as nimble as it could be.
They lose focus. Well, going back to the 15,000, I have to agree with Commissioner Morgan that I don't see 15,000 in here. 6,000 for a retreat to sit around, another meeting to sit around and talk about the same old thing and get nothing done. Prep with support staff, retreat facilitation and wall graphics, summary memory of the agreements, it's a grant. I thought we've done that. I thought we did that over in the council chamber for breakout groups, come back with the same solutions, and that's where it stops.
Well, with the project, you know, I think both policy boards just need to feel comfortable with moving forward with the scope, if that's what they're comfortable with. I know our city council will be discussing it on Monday again during the workshop, just to have another look at it before we potentially approve it on Wednesday.
Should we talk about this on Thursday and then formulate a letter that they can submit during your workshop? This came from the county.
If the county is having second thoughts or maybe thinking about moving in a different direction besides what's been proposed, then it would be good to get that information before I could bring the workshop on Monday.
If we're out, then the council could make the decision, gee, do we do this on our own? Are we that excited about spending $15,000 that we want to go ahead with it and see value in it? Commissioner?
I mean, if we want to send a letter, at the point that it is right now, I don't know if Commissioner Hare would support this. He wasn't at that committee. I don't know if he even knows this proposal has been made.
Right.
But I could say at this point I will not be supporting it. I don't think the scope is actually appropriate. I think it needs to be defined better or something different. But
well, let's get
I was just trying to read in the strategic plan as far as the CDC. The city or county should retain a consultant to facilitate CDC meetings for the first 6 months to 1 year. Train facilitator to ensure the committee's early meetings, which are critical to success of the plan, or success. That didn't happen. The second thing was work plan. CDC should adopt a one-year work plan as its first activity. That work plan should provide details, responsible parties, budget, funding, timelines, benchmarks, reporting for the actions it will undertake in the first year. Did that happen?
I mean,
the staff support. The staff, city and county will each appoint one staff member to jointly support the activities of CDC. These activities include communicating with the chairperson about activities, coordinating as needed with other staff from city, county, and other organizations in interest of economic development, taking care of their meeting logistics, conducting research and preparing materials for the meetings, taking and distributing meeting notes, informing city, county elected officials on activities, maintaining a website that communicates CDC activities to the public. So because we didn't get the facilitator early on, the work plan didn't happen early on, because it's not in the scope of staff to develop that work plan, or who was supposed to develop that work plan.
Well, staff was there to help facilitate the process, but the work plan ultimately would come from CEDC, and the work plan should address the goals and the objectives that are in here that start on like page 8, and they should address those, the services, the infrastructure, and there hasn't really been any true reporting, I think, back to council and the city council with regards to how are we doing on achieving the goals and the objectives that have been defined in the strategic plan. And, you know, CEDC, I think, it should be
similar to, you know, the way we operated the city with our work plan, strategic plan, give quarterly updates and reports on activities that are occurring and how we're achieving our goals through the accomplishment of the objectives and tasks that are assigned to the strategic plan. And that really hasn't happened. So maybe increasing that expectation of, hey, you know, you've got a document, you've got a strategic plan, and let's look at getting focused on this. If there's something outside of this that they think is important, then they do bring it forward for your consideration to include in the work plan or to update your strategic plan.
I don't see what CEDC would have to continue to strengthen the relationship with SoReady. That's not what the CEDC's, how can they do that? For that to even be a recommended play,
it's in the strategic plan. Yeah. And that came from that, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's just it. So CEDC will provide advice to the county's community economic development director about how to streamline the land permitting regulatory process. Will serve as liaison to business community on that topic. No.
How does the CEDC is going to go tell Julie, who's highly educated in land use planning, how to process a permit?
Well, I don't know if it's that. I mean, we've talked about having contractors go through and say, what's your experience? Take these plans to five different agencies. What's your experience at city? What's your experience at county? What can be improved upon? But for the CEDC to be the liaison to the business committee on that topic, that's why you have Susan. That's why we have SoReady. That's why we have Julie's office. Julie's office already, when people come in, is referring people to SoReady. To see, we just did that with another one that was developing. So it's kind of one of those things that, looking at this scope, maybe this is where, as policy bodies, we have to look at these red items and say,
you should.
Do we want them doing that?
You should. Yes, I agree 100%. It'd be good if both policy boards did have an opportunity to review that. And we could always do that at our next meeting. We can go through our next joint meeting. We can facilitate a conversation of, let's take a look at these goals, and then let's take a look at the objectives here. And are these things that we want them to continue to work on, or do we want to change this? It's a perfect timing to do this, because then we can get a new update on this strategic plan for the new calendar year.
So the two things that are in here that the CEDC was supposed to be doing is design and implement a community conversation about desired services and how to fund them. They're not a group that decides how to fund things. I mean, that's your job, that's our job.
Yeah.
But then...
They can make recommendations on that, I think. But.
Develop information materials to ensure city and county are able to respond to business inquiries with unified message and up-to-date information. Is that something we want them to try to do?
It's up to the policy boards to...
I want to review this thing. I think we can go through it, but let's just... I think that's a good... All right. Those are all good points for the next meeting.
Okay.
Okay. So let's get a quick, we want Allen Creek Road discussion. Do you want a letter from us, or what do you want for that? If we talk about this on Thursday, Commissioner Morgan won't be here for the Thursday meeting, but we can get a thumbprint from Commissioner Hare as to whether he wants to continue on with Allen Creek Road or pull our support for the project.
That'd be fine.
Okay, and if we do that, we would get a letter that you can read to the council on
Monday? Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay. We're going to put it on Thursday's agenda. I don't know if that's supposed to be there or not, but I'm going to try for it.
Okay. And let me know if you want me present or something like that, elected bodies or something to be here too. So.
And then smart meters? The ODOT conversation with ODOT, I'll put it together, give it to Commissioner Morgan so she can calm it down for me, take all the red face out of it. And then we'll, because I want to get something back to Gary Lehman ASAP as to exactly what we want to talk about and what questions we want answered. Then when we sit down with Art, and I think it would be advantageous if we all sat down with Art, put a meeting together with Art, and then he can explain where it's all coming from and going to.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And because we did that a couple times with Laurel Sampson, we had both public works people in the room because they're definitely involved in it, and probably council president, and council president being also on RV Act.
Finishing up with the board.
RV Act, and myself as representative of RV Act from the county. and also liaison to transportation, we'll have, you know, we'll get some answers. But I'll bring that up. I'm going to get that to you today, that Kittleson scope.
Okay.
So we'll do that. We'll do that ASAP, and I'll let you know the date on that. Okay.
Let me have you read that real quick. That's Sean at the high school looking to try to see about having someone present at a bigger level.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in Arizona, I'm in D.C., and he's got an appointment regarding veteran stuff. And so none of us are available, but getting somebody that could speak to the high school, it's going to have the county schools present and the city school.
I could do it if you want me to, just forward it to me.
Don't feel like you're fourth string here.
Yeah, no, I'll
no,
do it.
No, ideally, we had thought that it'd be nice to partner with the city.
Yeah.
That you have a county commissioner and yourself potentially and say, and the idea is motivating the kids. This is an optional career path. What route did you take?
When is that?
His was Navy and he came in. Mine was college and came in. His was college lobbying and came in. I mean, yeah. It's kind of one of those things. What are our paths to here and how the kids can be working towards that?
When is that deal?
October 10th.
Right. Yeah. I looked at that on my thing.
10:30 to 11:10 is one session, and 11:15 to 11:55, and they only would need one of those sessions mm-hmm. covered. But the idea was having it. They're also having city staff and county staff at tables separately in the cafeteria where students can come up to. That's not what they're talking about. Like Rob Brand is saying, I need students for this program. He's going to have a table to do that. They're talking a bigger presentation in the Performing Arts Center to a bigger crowd of talking about that, kind of a little more motivational. So
I can
I'll look at my October 10th thing and see if I can do what I can do.
I think it could actually be fun. I've done a couple of things where you're up in front of kids and you're just trying to inspire them to, or showcase the idea that there's something else out there than everything they're used to seeing. So
I had a 12 o'clock.
Hey,
okay.
Okay.
So then carrying through, we have CEDC. We're going to talk about that. We'll put that on there. And the smart meter discussion, I've got Wally bringing forth anything that we can and can't do.
Thank
you. We'll have the same time, manufacturer.
Just,
that's great.
If you want me or anybody present for Thursday or whatever.
Got
all
it.
Right, thank
enjoy
you.
Lunch.
Okay, thanks.
And we are adjourned at
12:06.
12:06.